Stand by for action.
Gamer's Haven Special Edition.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
okay.
It is. Well, a very, very cool happenstance. We're talking to Ed Greenwood.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Ethan with the Gamers Haven Podcast. And
Tracy with you on the corner. Yeah.
And hi, I'm Ed Greenwood. I write books and design games.
Yes, you do.
We had you on the show a long time ago. I think it was about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's
not a long time in my...
It is for me.
Oh, okay.
I've had a lot happen in 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. But yeah, it's sort of an impromptu. Hi, Ed. How you doing?
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
I was scanning the QR code on the thing, and you walked by,
and I'm like,
"Oh, excuse me, sir. I need to go."
Like, dude, that was Ed Greenwood.
You're saying I almost clotheslined Ed Greenwood.
Yes.
That's okay. Yes. Yeah. You were joining factions for Neverwinter.
Yes.
Right?
Unfortunately, I am on the massively losing side.
Oh,
of
the Thayans.
Yeah,
okay.
The Thayans are.
There was a code right there yesterday.
I'm Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
So,
and
yeah.
You know, I like them all, except that.
Whoever wins, you win.
Of course.
Yeah.
Really.
So.
The problem is, you know, if I had to go to bed with one of them, it's going to be the undead babe rather than the two guys.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Plus, no, there's something that says something about you with that, you know?
No. I'm a game designer. I'm a fantasy writer.
Right.
Fantasy. Which means you're always pushing horizons in all directions.
Yes.
Regardless of laws, morals, because you're just thinking things through. Because if nobody ever pushed things, nothing would ever change in the society. It would be static, back where it started. There would be no innovation. Nobody would ever accept new things. So our job, without, you know, doing the irresponsible thing of shouting fire in the crowded theater, you know,
our
job is to introduce new ideas, new ways of thinking of things. Because these things we just got, these little thumb drives, you know, there's no, people would look at, imagine your grandparents' generation, your great-grandparents' generation, somebody hands them that and says, it's a stick.
What is this thing?
Yeah. Or even 20 years ago to a person from that generation, it's a lighter.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's got all this stuff on it. It does.
Well, this has information.
I don't see anything on it. No, well, it's actually in it.
How do you open it?
They try and open it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all that comes from a non sequitur about sleeping with undead.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Fantastic.
Yeah, cool.
I told you.
It's the new way of thinking of things. And, of course, that's the coolest thing you could do in a game session where everybody thinks they know what's going on. They think they know the situation.
And the problem with that is actually doing that and disconnecting yourself in a game from the modern day. And it's like saying, you know, you're in a fantasy setting. This stuff is, you don't know what this stuff is, so it's like, okay, here's this out-of-this-world thing that no one has ever seen. You as a player might go, oh, okay, that's kind of cool, whatever. But in game, I mean, that's going to be, it was the whole concept of magic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure,
you know,
magic
like,
that works.
Magic changes everything.
Yeah. I like to say that magic is the modern science in the fantasy setting. It's like, well, who's to say you're not going to have some magic user somewhere who's so lazy, so fat, sitting in his tower, just use his mage hand to get everything for him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
because
like
you can do that.
Mechanical reach arm.
Yeah, sure.
And he shifts himself over onto his tensor's floating disc, and you know that's how he gets around.
Across the room.
Yeah.
I want to play that mage in a campaign. Actually.
Well, there's using magic like the equivalent of modern technology, as in, you know, all the stuff that all the old Living City RPG stuff, you know, where they had all those businesses
here
that used minor magic spells to do a modern American business function or processing function to get your pizza hot or slice it, you know.
Yeah.
But there's also the way of challenging people, forcing them into moral challenges where they have to decide, oh, do I run away?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
it's certain death, or do I stay and fight with my friends and probably die with my friends?
Right.
You know.
And that's something like an entire setting like Dark Sun has those moral challenges all over the place. Right. I mean, so it's a mimic of the setting, and you, but you can do it in any
setting. Nothing against Forgotten Realms, but I'm a Dark Sun.
That's okay. It's the whole point of everything where people have. Feuds or
sure.
It divides the gaming audience, and mm-hmm. and from a designer's point of view, we're just trying to give you a bigger buffet.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, give you more stuff. And let's face it, most gamers don't play a setting straight.
Sure,
they
yeah.
read something and they take this idea. Oh, that's cool. That trap. That room.
Yeah.
And they put it. You know, so it's all mix and match anyway.
Oh, and I don't care what the gamers say. All gamers will do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
So even if they say no, I don't. Like, well, yes, you do.
And the other thing that you as a designer are trying to do mm-hmm. is break down the tendency, the human nature tendency of all gamers and all DMs to use their metagaming knowledge.
Yeah.
This has to be a Beholder or a Gaspar in first
right.
edition. You know,
yeah.
I know this from reading the books.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Well, your player didn't, your character didn't read the books.
That's
the player.
That's
no.
sort of thing drives me crazy.
So you are always trying to design things into a scenario or into a setting book even that force people to role play.
Yeah, yep. to break expectations.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. We don't know what this is anymore. This it may be this and it may be that, but it may be something else. Oh dear.
Yeah.
And then they have to role play again. They okay, we're out of our depths now. Rather
right.
than what was that on page 32 of the Monster Manual? You have it memorized better than me. No, that horrible moment when you go, oh please, because their heads have moved out of the experience, the here
yeah,
and
right.
now.
It's, yeah.
And even if I design an encounter where I'm using something default, like an orc, as soon as a player says that to me, it's not an orc anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the screen, I'm changing it right then and there.
Yeah.
I'm like,
my fiance is getting ready to run her first game.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Cthulhu One, but my best advice I give her is don't care about what stats you want to use. Pick something, you know, pick a monster. Say, okay, I'm going to use a deep one, whatever. Well, it doesn't have to be a deep one. Use the stats for it, but
call it something
habits
else.
Of,
yeah.
you know,
yep.
and you can do that in D&D.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of players and GMs need to get out of that, well, it's in this book, it's what I have to use type of thing. It's like, well, no. You can use the stats for it, it's fine. But it can look like whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that will throw players for a loop.
And once you've thrown them, then they're back into the role-playing.
Right.
Which is where, even though, again, by human nature, we don't want to be uncomfortable and out of our depths, but that's really what you're, for the play experience, that's what
yeah.
it's for.
Mm-hmm.
And the same reason why I don't think most of us would want to undergo what you go through in your typical
sure.
modern horror movie.
Right. No.
But many people, not all, like watching the movies, you know, for a good scare or a good, oh, that was cool, or whatever. But so in the same way, you want to give them that experience. And,
yeah.
and it when it happens and it clicks.
So ultimately, it's why we do this.
Yeah.
Why we're here.
Yeah, why
you
we're
know?
Here. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why 30,000
yeah.
people descend upon in Indianapolis every year.
Well, okay, there's two other reasons.
Well,
I can't buy this cool crap at home.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Or, I didn't know that was out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the, I'm not alone. Look at all these
yeah.
other crazies.
Yeah. Yeah, the tribe is a
yeah.
fun group of people when
yeah.
you're not being jerks.
Yeah, no. exactly. Well, that's the same with any
yeah.
group of
yeah,
humanity,
yeah.
but it restores the soul and the faith, particularly if you're from small town anywhere
yeah.
and
yep.
feel isolated.
Yeah.
And
when
you go and say, see?
He's from middle of nowhere, Ohio. I'm from Kansas City, but, you know.
Yeah. So stuff like this is energizing and invigorating.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome
and
to talk to
how
cool
great
people who do cool things.
How great technology is he plays in a game I run.
From
the city.
I Skype
in. And,
yeah.
and you know,
cool.
it works great for the most part. Sometimes
yeah.
we want to stab things, but yeah.
So what do you have going on right now? Like, what are your new endeavors that you're working on? That you're allowed to talk about.
Okay. September 15th. I should be finished by then, my work on the next Elminster novel. Not
nice.
The one that's
right.
come out now, but the one after that. And I'm working on a steampunk novel for Tor Publisher.
Nice.
I've got a whole bunch of small short stories and small game adventures and stuff I'm working on. I'm going to be working on the next raft of things for the Wizards website, Forgotten Realms stuff.
Cool.
And there are other stuff, things that we're talking about here at the convention that we can't share yet because, well, because nothing's been decided. It's wouldn't that be cool if?
Right.
You know, so we can't then say, oh, we're going to be doing this because we might not be doing this. We're just doing the blue sky thing at the moment. So there's lots of other things. Usually in an average year, I'm trying to do 2 full-length novels and a bit of a third and some game stuff and a whole raft of short stories and columns. So there's always stuff running.
Nice.
I'm waiting. In fact, I forgot to ask when I was over at the Pelgrane Press booth. Pelgrane Press has announced a new imprint for fiction called Stone Skin.
Okay.
And it has the new hero Volume 2, and I think Shotguns and Thulu or something like that.
Okay.
3 fiction books. And I wrote a story for the first one. Robin Laws is editing, and I don't know when they come out.
Okay. Right.
And then there's another Kickstarter thing that Jeff LaSalle and his brother headed called Foreshadows, The Ghost of Zero,
okay.
Which is an anthology of dystopian science fiction near future short stories,
mm-hmm.
plus original art, plus original music tracks for
nice.
Each story that is being worked on right now. And of course, from my point of view, my story is long done. So where's the book?
Right.
But I don't know exactly when it's coming out. Everything
okay.
else I think has sort of come out already. Now I'm working on 2 other anthologies I don't think I'm allowed to talk about yet.
Okay.
My stories in them that I haven't finished yet that are be in the future.
Right.
And let's see. I'm editing more anthologies. One came out just at this convention. Gabriel Habawi has it over in Author's Alley.
Okay.
From Dragon Moon Press, When the Hero Comes Home.
Okay.
And it's all about, you know how classically, with the exception of Tolkien,
right.
Lord of the Rings,
you don't get the after story.
Yeah, you don't get the after story. We end with the huge climax and whatever, and can you go home again? Are you enough changed as the hero?
Yeah.
Now, as Frodo said, the Shire has been saved, but not for me,
yeah,
because he's been changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
For Sam, it's like everybody else leaves him. Literally, they go over to the Grey Havens or they're dead.
Yeah,
and he comes back to Rosie and says, well, I'm back, and
yeah.
the story ends, you know.
Yeah.
And then you saw Pippin and Merry when they come back to the Shire. They're completely changed. They're
yeah.
war captains.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the boys who are being chased out of Farmer Maggot's field. They're,
right.
they're like, you know, you in mail, you know, and then they say, what's that you got on you? You know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Everything's changed. Or has home changed?
Yeah.
Has it been ruined, like Sauron tried to ruin
yeah.
the Shire? You know, all of those things came to play in Tolkien, but most authors don't share that with
right.
you.
Right.
So we did a bunch of short stories. We asked a bunch of people, a lot of Dragon Moon authors, and a lot of Wizards of the Coast authors. So, Rosemary Jones, Eric Scott DeBee, Brian Cortillo, Susan Morris, who was our editor, provides our introduction,
mm-hmm.
Was the editor at Wizards of the Coast, not
sure.
Dragon Moon. And we tried to get everybody in it.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, you have this different as chalk and cheese. There's a Jim Hines Jig the Goblin story in it. Todd McCaffrey contributed a
mm-hmm.
story. Jay Lake and Shannon Page contributed a story. There's everything. So there's science fiction, there's dark horror, there's fantasy, there's every take on that. And so that sort of thing is just great fun.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is, we didn't get a dud story at all.
Good.
Submitted to us. So the anthology is really strong, and it's all really different. Any one reader is probably not going to like all the stories
mm-hmm.
in the anthology because they're so different from each other. But I don't think they'll ever find a story in the anthology that I said was bad or, well, poorly written or flawed. It's just like, okay,
not
I like that one more than that
yeah.
one. But everything's good. So, I mean, for me, that's tremendously exciting.
Fantastic.
Whatever you want to think.
Thank you very much for taking some time to chat with us. We really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Impromptu bumping into you.
Oh, this is
yeah.
cool.
This is why we love Gen Con.
Yeah, yeah. This is what it's for.
Awesome.
Now, if I was a pretty girl in a revealing costume, bumping into would be different.
That would be different.
Yes.
It would be different.
Yeah.
A variety of levels.
You might
yes.
try it next year of wearing a revealing costume.
Well,
might be interesting.
Yes. See, up in Canada. When we wear fishnets,
there.
We wear fishnets with the fish still in them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's just a shortage of French-made costumes for guys
yes.
my size.
That's true.
Except for Gen Con.
Except for Gen Con, yes.
All right, Ed, thanks so much.
Really pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Okay, thank you.
No problem.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.